Sarah, I started a Substack last spring, just kind of as an experiment, and it turns out I love it. I'm treating it kind of like an old school blog, writing about things that are happening in my life.
Megan, I've loved following your stuff on Substack, and I actually just really like Substack in general.
You know, we've both been a lot less active on Instagram lately, and I'm finding that Substack scratches that itch to connect and create without all the busyness of a typical social media feed. So I would love it if Mom Hour listeners wanted to look me up there. I'm at meganfrancis.substack.com, and that's Megan with two A's, meganfrancis.substack.com.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 204 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah.
We're getting outside today, figuratively.
Well, the funny thing is I'm not getting outside today because this is like the cruddiest day that we've had all week. But
well, it is. So here's the thing. We're talking today about getting outside with your kids. Why bother, first of all? Like why it's important, some obstacles, and then what kind of fun tips and fun things we've done with our kids outside over the years. And, you know, this is kind of seasonal because, Megan, where you are, you've been texting me all week like, oh, my gosh, it's over 50. Goodbye. I can't work. I have to go outside.
I really feel like this pressure. Like I watch on my phone as the temperature, you know, how it goes with the hour by hour. And I have like identified the highest temperature of the day. And then I have to, and like the sunniest part of the day. And I have to have a walk during that part. It's like fever.
Drop everything and get out.
Drop everything and get out.
And of course, where I live in the land of perpetual good weather. So it's a little different over here. But if you're listening to this and it's November or February, I think today's conversation, even though it was inspired by some seasonal spring weather you're having in Michigan, we're going to talk about this all year round. And both you and I have lived in places where it's prohibitively hot or cold for a good chunk of the year with little tiny kids who need to get out. So we're inspired by spring, but this is not spring specific. Whenever you're listening, there's a chance to get outside. And I hope we kind of take the pressure off as we like to try to do. So that this isn't something that feels like I've got to, you know, to be a good mom, I have to fill in the blank, like go on a outdoorsy picnic every spring. You don't have to do that. You don't want to.
You don't have to do that. Can we get into it?
Yeah. So I guess like this first half of the show, I'm kind of loosely calling like, why bother? Why bother trying to get our kids outside? Because we know that there are logistics and mess and stuff involved and all of that. So Meg, I thought we could just start by talking about, forget the kids for a second. What kind of like an outdoor person are you? Are you someone who naturally likes to be outdoors? And what are your favorite ways to be outside? Just Megan, not Megan.
Just
and
Megan,
kids.
Which is a very different thing.
Right.
So I love to be outdoors. However, I will say the amount of effort it sometimes takes to put on my shoes, open the door and walk outside does not feel commensurate with how much I like it. And like I really like it, but it's like hard to make it happen sometimes, which is kind of silly. I like leisurely outdoor activities. Like I like lounging in a chair, reading outside. I like eating outside. I like chatting with my friends outside. I like walking. I really love to walk. I love to kayak. I like to walk in the woods. No, I always love how, everything's called hiking now, and hiking is just walking. It's just walking. But so those kinds of activities, I like to be kind of surrounded by wildlife, and I like to look at trees, and I like to, but I'm not like a strenuous outside. I'm never going to climb the side of a mountain or rappel or anything like that. Not
it's
my thing.
It's funny that you say that because the one time I've been to your town, obviously listeners, you know, we meet up several times a year in other places, but the one or I guess two times now I've been to your town, you took me kayaking. And I would say like there was significant effort involved in getting out on the lake. Like it wasn't, you meant to do it. Like we loaded up your kayak. We went and borrowed another kayak. It was raining. So I think you're selling yourself a little short. Like we went to more effort than I probably would have.
Well,
it's beautiful.
It's become, like last year kayaking was my thing. So like I decided I was going to be out on the water several times a week, you know, no matter what. And that I think we'll get into this a little bit more later, but for me, the routine and like the creating the habit and deciding like the mindset is always the thing that gets in my way. And I'm also kind of a baby about things. Like I don't like temperature extremes. I don't like temperature swings. If I miss the boat on when the weather starts to get like hot, I sometimes almost have to like re-convince myself that I like to be outside, because if I'm like not outside, you know, like that transitional time. Mm-hmm. So there's like, right now it's still kind of chilly, but pretty soon it's going to be like 60 all the time. If I, for some reason, was like indoors a lot during that 60 to 70, and then suddenly now it's in the high 70s, I'll experience that as something to almost like be a deterrent to go outside. The fact that the last time I remember going outside, it was like 58. Now it's 78.
You're like, to me, too like, different.
Yes. It's like, I have to get used to it. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that I don't love bugs. I don't love the smell of bug spray. I like all those things I can be kind of a baby about. So I just find that like planning and getting in the mindset is super important for me. So I love it, but it's not always easy for me to do.
Yeah, I think I have a lot of similarities to you. I'm an indoor cat. That's what I call myself. You know, there's indoor cats, outdoor cats, indoor, outdoor cats.
Are you one of those indoor cats that like sits by the front door and looks at birds and looks like you want to be outside?
Yeah. I like the idea of outside. Right. So, I mean, I'm just admitting that my natural inclination is to be in a climate controlled indoor environment. I'm a homebody. The things I like to do are indoors. So having said that, we're going to have a whole episode about why we want to get outside with our kids. So I do, but I'm just acknowledging it's not my nature. My favorite ways to be outdoors are in the morning when it's cool. I do love to walk in nature just like you. And I don't like to be too far from home. Like things like camping and backpacking, as kind of an anxious person, it's like outside my comfort level. Now I know you can stretch yourself in those areas, but I'm happy to go on a walk or a hike or to the beach. I kind of like to know when my next warm shower or sweatshirt or full meal is going to be. So I've never strayed very far from the comforts of home. I do love seasonal changes. And my theory is because I grew up in a place where it's literally 68 to 72 all year round. Like it could not have fewer seasonal changes where I grew up. So I've always kind of been like a kid about the first leaf change or the first snow. Mm. And so I do love to be outside when you can notice nature changing. So that's always fun for me. And I think I've inspired that with the kids. You know, I think that's one way we love to experience nature is noticing differences or changes. But like you said, that can also come with like temperature extremes. And
right.
Things like
yeah.
That. So,
yeah.
Well, let's talk about when our kids were really little. We get in our time machine. We go back in time when we had babies, toddlers, and preschoolers. Is this something you thought about? Is it something that happened naturally? Did you kind of follow your kids' lead or just the season of where you live? Talk to me about like when you were a newer mom, what was not the logistics of it, but what was your kind of philosophy? How did you think about being outside with kids?
So what's funny is in a lot of ways, even though logistically it was more difficult, it was easier for me to be in the mindset of getting my kids outside when they were little. First of all, like they were portable, right? So I'm a fast walker, and taking anything besides a very deliberately leisurely stroll around like the block, one block with a 5-year-old is torture. If you're a fast walker and you like to get places when you go outside, walking with a kid who's just out of a stroller is an exercise in patience building.
Yes.
Which is also frustration, right? It's torture sometimes. So I remember having to really shift my mindset. Like I am going outside and it's not because I'm going to get an exercise walk.
Right.
It's because I'm going to stroll around the block with my 5-year-old and let them look at every flower and anthill, you know, but that took me a little time to get that. So I always thought it was easier. The littler they were, almost the easier it was. I also felt a lot of responsibility for their time in nature back then. And also they're like, their large motor skill development. So like I thought to myself, this is something as a mom I do. I go to the playground or I do this or that. It gets muddier the older they get because you're not really in charge of that.
I'm interrupting, but just to clarify. So it really was like you had decided that this was like a thing that you wanted to do as a mom was to make sure they had this kind of gross motor development and outside play. I'm just curious.
And they weren't in school yet. So like who else was going to do it?
Yeah.
I was with them all day long. They didn't go to school or daycare. So if I didn't take them to the playground, nobody else was going to do it. So I just saw it as more of like part of my job. Mm-hmm. And now that feels a lot more nebulous to me. Mm-hmm. they didn't have anything to say about it back then either. It was right. like, okay, kids, we're going to the beach. And they'd be like, okay. I mean, right. what were they going to say? No. They didn't have, A, they didn't have an opinion, and B, everything sounded fun to them.
Yeah.
And that definitely changes the older that they get. And then back then, it was also really easy for me to identify like a reason or like a destination. So mm-hmm. you had like your choice, you know, you got some hiking trails, you've got a park, you've got a different park, you've got the beach, whatever your four or five things are that you can typically fit in on a Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock or whatever time you're going out. It's just easy to figure out what to do and where to go.
Yeah.
It was obvious. And that has also gotten trickier the older they've gotten. So I would just say like, it definitely happened when they were little. I think it happened. I think it was actually more organized and more deliberate when they were little than it is now. And I'm bummed about that. And I kind of want to figure that out.
Interesting. Yeah. I have a lot to think about in this too, because it does change so much as they get older. I don't actually remember having it be a priority for me when my kids were really little to get outside. I think about that more now than I did then. That said, we were cooped up inside for many months living in Arizona. So we were inside almost completely from May through October. I mean, we'd get out a little bit in October. And so when the weather got cooler, we just naturally wanted to get outside. Yeah. But I don't think I thought about it from like a parenting perspective. I do remember wanting, you know, really wanting it to be okay for them to just get dirty and play in the mud and have that kind of free play experience. But to me, that was more of an extension of unstructured play, which was something that was kind of philosophically important to me. And it was less about being outside and more about just kind of following their interests, and their interests happened to be mud. So I just have this mental image of them kind of in the muddy grass in the spring, right outside our patio door. I mean, they didn't go very far, and kind of thinking like, oh, this is good. I want to be the mom who lets my kids go get messy in the mud. But beyond that, it wasn't a huge priority. We didn't do a lot of like, let's go, you know, run the nature preserve or go do this. I do think about it more now. And part of that is I live in a place where you can at least do it year round, which is great. But yeah, it wasn't like a huge priority to me. And I look back and think like, I guess we got outside enough, but it wasn't something I was thinking about all the time.
Well, I think for you, there's two things happening. Because you have, except for when you were in Arizona, because you've been used to living in places where it's kind of always nice.
Yeah.
Or the weather doesn't change very much. There's a lot less novelty to it. Here the swings, like you've made a comment before, like how different it is when you live in a place where when it's nice, everyone has to take advantage of it. Like we got like 3 months. And if you don't get in all the kayaking, beach trips, golfing, whatever it is you're into, if you don't get that all in 3 months, like you really don't have that much wiggle room on either side. I also grew up personally in a place that's even colder than where I live now.
Yeah.
I grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan where there was, you know, crazy amounts of snowfall, sub-zero temperatures all the time. And it was almost like a virtuous thing. Like, your kids will be tough. They will go outside. They will put on a snowsuit and go outside. And even if it's cold, it was kind of, and I don't think I walked around preaching it. I just think I internalized it.
Yeah.
Like, this idea that this is what it means to be a kid who grows up in Michigan. When it's cold out,
you
still,
it's your badge of honor.
You get dressed and you go outside. And I remember feeling some pressure around that when they were little. And I remember doing this thing where I would go through, and anybody who's got, you know, kids under say 7 in a cold climate will know what I'm talking about. You bundle them into their stuff and you're sweating and hot and it takes forever. And then you no sooner send them outside than they're knocking on the door wanting to come back in. And then, you know, A, there's going to be snow everywhere.
Yeah.
I have to get them back out of all this stuff.
Yeah.
I might have to go outside and I don't want to do that. It's cold out. Like they're all, and then, you know, you have to go like make them the cocoa because that's what you do when you come inside from the thing your mother forced you to go outside and do that you didn't even want to do. So it was, I remember having this whole rigmarole around that for several months in the winter when my kids were little that I don't now. And so that is one thing that's gotten way better.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I feel like the seasonal thing does make a big difference in mindset.
I'm sure it does. And I do think I have a little bit of like residual guilt that I am such an indoor person. I'm not more outdoorsy with my kids, but I'm just acknowledging it, I guess. And
can we also acknowledge that, you know, being outside can mean eating dinner on the patio.
Yes.
It does not have to mean hiking.
Totally.
Which I mean, to me, anytime my kids were out of like the baby backpack, hiking started to become something. Again, it's like, am I here because I want to be, or because I think they have to do this?
Right.
It's not really fun to hike with a 3-year-old.
Right.
Unless you love walking really slow
yeah.
and having them fall down every few feet. So the tripping over roots and stuff. I mean, some people are probably disagreeing going, it's really fun. And that's great. For me, it was not.
Yeah.
So,
no, I hear you. Well, let's shift to, I think, some of the really fun things about being outside with kids. And we should say that there's really good research about how good being outside is for everybody and adults as well. I mean, brain chemistry wise, like gross motor wise, like you mentioned. So there's so many reasons why it is good for kids to get outside. And I just thought we could share some of the positives or the things that we've noticed over the years that kids kind of benefit from. And I can go first if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
But my first memory of this is because we were cooped up from May to October. When my babies were little, babies and toddlers, they would gain 4 or 5 months of age while you were almost not outside at all.
You're like waiting it out.
House to car. And during that time, there's so much development. So I remember I would have like an infant, say, who maybe they were just barely sitting up. And then the next time we came outside, 5 months later, they were crawling around on the grass and interacting mm-hmm. and going, crawling up the playground stuff and going down a slide. And it was like having a new kid in a way, or a new kid or a new environment for the same kid. And it was so fun. Like every first thing we did when the weather cooled down was fun because it was a different kid. And that lasts all the way up until they're 4 or 5, because there's, you know, those big jumps in development are so much more exaggerated at those ages. I mean, my kids would still be 4 or 5 months older, but it just, they don't change quite as much. You know, you'd have a kid who wasn't walking and then they're walking by the time you get outside again. And well, so
it's very much like that here. Just reverse.
Yeah. And I just remember being kind of delighted about that as a mom, you know, like the kid who wasn't talking is now pointing at butterflies and saying butterfly. And it was just like this very cool acknowledgement of how far we'd come in just a short season. And so, I don't know. I just think that's the seasons of nature and the seasons of kids growing. You just always have those memories tied together. And to me, that's a really cool thing.
I remember having these conversations with my friends too, when we would all take like our kids to the beach and be the years that we all suffered.
Yeah.
And then be like next year, this kid will be great at the beach or the pool or whatever it is. Like next year, they're not going to like try to drown themselves anymore. Yes. Or next year, they're not going to eat sand or throw it in their brother's face or whatever it is.
Sand eating.
So
like, there's always the sand eating summer at the beach. It's like terrible.
The diapers are so bizarre.
Oh God. So yeah, that, I guess that's just something that I have a really fond memory of. I also, one of my favorite things about kind of my kids in nature is watching how mixed age groups of kids play differently when the only toy, the only medium is dirt, sand, water, what else? Snow. I mean, fill in
grass.
The blank.
Yeah.
Grass. A hill can provide many hours of entertainment. And if you've got big groups of kids, either like cousin groups or friend groups or play groups or siblings, I mean, the dynamics inside a house are just different. There's power dynamics. There's sharing toys. There's like all this kind of politics that almost, I'm not going to say it disappears. I'm not going to be that, you know, optimistic about it. It doesn't disappear, but it's amazing to watch groups of different age kids from little babies all the way on up, like get into some fort building activity or some roll down the hill game or some, it's just cool. It's really cool. And the more you observe it, the more you're like, okay, I get it. Like there is something different about this. So
That's actually bringing to mind, you know, the place that we went and had pizza and those enormous beers when you were here in St. Joe. So there's a pizza place. It's like inside an old train station. And it's right near there, there's like a fountain and also just kind of these like little rolling hills. They're not really big hills, but just like these little mounds almost. And I remember very clearly when my group of friends, we go there a lot with our kids. And I remember clearly when the oldest in the group, which at that point would have been Will, because I think by this point, Jake and Isaac were kind of doing their own thing.
Yeah.
And was old enough to take all the kids outside.
Nice.
And the youngest of theirs was old enough to not run away or, you know, whatever. Like they were all kind of old enough to go out in a group together. And so the adults would sit there and have our pizza and beer and watch these kids who ranged in age from 5 up until 12 running and 13, maybe just running and playing like big toddlers. Yes. And there is something really fun about that. They were all playing together. There was nothing else to do. They had no options.
Like,
it was either that or sit and listen to us talk. And that didn't sound like fun. So
even at a playground, sometimes mixed age group of kids will go off and find something that's not even the play structure. Like,
yeah.
I mean, the play structures are great, but I always think it's so fun when they go off and find like a hill or a hole
yes.
or something. And just watching that. So that's one of my favorite things. Anything else come to mind for you?
Well, on the big kid, kind of on the big kid thing, I guess, like even teenagers who are too cool for school, right? Like they will with time, it doesn't always happen right away, but like if they're outside long enough, they will just start to relax and act like big goofy kids. Last year, Jenna and I took her son, Jack, my nephew, and then my William and Owen, so my two younger sons, on a backpacking trip. We just went for 2 nights. It was just like we backpacked like a mile in and then set up camp in these dunes. We were about 100 yards from the shoreline of Lake Michigan. And it did take the kids, like, as you know, we set up camp and that was interesting. And then they were bored. Like, camp was set up. We had eaten our first meal with our little camp stove thingy. And now that, like, the look of panic comes across their face, like, now what? Like, now what do we do?
Yeah.
We've done all the things that there are to do. And, you know, we had them go collect wood and stuff like that. And so it took them a little while to relax from not having any screens or even any board games or books even. Mm-hmm. Like, they had nothing. And they just turned into, like, I just have this mental image of William sitting in the shallow water with his legs splayed out like a V, splashing like in the water like he was a baby.
Like
it was like he was
baby.
A 6 foot baby. It was the cutest thing. They had sand stuck all over their bodies. They were doing that thing where like they crawl in the water, like up to the shore, you know, like crawl around on their bellies and stuff. And I was like, you guys, like, where have these versions of you been? You never act like this anymore. And it was like really heartwarming and fun
delightful.
To watch.
That is it was delightful. I love that so much. Okay. So last question before our break, let's talk about what our specific struggles have been, kind of being the outdoor loving mom that you want to be. We've mentioned a couple, but do you have any more?
Yeah. Well, I will say that when my kids were really little, I never had a great backyard for little kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure a lot of listeners are struggling with that as well. Mm-hmm. I just remember that being like a bummer and a struggle because I didn't always want to be outside. I wanted the kind of yard where I could just open the back door and not open a side door and then walk around and open a fence and let the kids in. I wanted to literally open a sliding door and have my kids run out and be contained and to be able to kind of come back and forth as they wanted or needed while I was making dinner or whatever. And I never really quite had that. And it was a bummer. So, you know, if you're there, I'm with you. I remember internalizing that almost as guilt. Like there were times we lived in apartments and we didn't even have our own yard. So like every time I wanted to take the kids out, I had to like make the effort to take them out.
Right.
And other time, like when we lived on an alley for a while. And so my kids played in the alley and I remember being like, is that weird? Like almost like without purposely feeling guilty about it. I kind of felt like there was some parenting thing I like let them down on or like didn't do. But, you know, just if you're in that position, there's plenty of ways that your kids are getting access to outside. And if it's an alley or a patio or, you know, a little plot of grass outside your back door or whatever, or a front yard, like whatever it is, if it's a trip to the park, that all counts.
Yeah.
Now that they're older, it's the organization and the routine. It's like getting in the mindset of doing it. And if it's not part of my routine, then it gets lost, like work, cleaning up the house. And then at the end of the night, I'm tired, relaxing on the sofa. Like that is hard. And then also because my kids are older, like not every outdoor experience is like a full family fun time. And the teenagers don't always want to do stuff. And I struggle with like how much to force it, how much to let them decide. When I do get a lot of resistance on outdoor play, like beach trips and fun things, I find myself assigning a lot of outdoor work.
I love that so much.
Like picking up dog poop. And I do
I'm sure you don't like explicitly say that to them.
No,
it's just like
a
coincidence. Like, oh.
Right. Well, it's like, well, they need to get outside one way or the other. And so I'll say things like, well, we're going to the beach and you're not going to sit in the house and play video games. So if you don't want to go with me, you can pick up dog poop.
Yeah.
And so it does serve a purpose.
Yeah.
And they'll sometimes choose that. And so they're getting the exercise and the fresh air, but it's not exactly building family memories either. So like, I'm just trying to figure out the balance for that. I will admit I tend to do a lot more solo stuff right now because it's just easier to go on a walk by myself or jump in my own kayak than to try to pull it all together for all the kids and then cajole kids who would rather not go or going to whine and complain. So, you know, raising older kids is just different from youngers. And as some things get easier, other things become more complicated. Mm-hmm. And this is just like an extension of that. It's something that you kind of have to change your mindset around and become more intentional, but in different ways. And it evolves slowly. So I would say it's still evolving.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because when my kids were younger, like I remember how crazy it would drive me that the doors were slamming all summer long, like in, out. And now that never happens. And I kind of miss it. Like,
I love it.
You know,
I mean, I am still at the baddie stage, so it's helpful for me to hear. So in terms of what I've struggled with, actually, that's like my current struggle, other than just a general feeling of I should get them outside more, but is just this bringing the outside in and the going in and out is I wish it weren't hard for me, but it is. They go out in the backyard, which I want them to do. They'll play potions or something. We don't have a big grass.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, we don't have grass actually at all. So what we have is like an enclosed patio. It's not very big, but there are planters and there's dirt and there's leaves and stuff. So they'll play potions, but they're always coming in and getting bowls and spoons from my kitchen. And I like have this internal conflict because I love that they're out there playing together. And I so believe in like open-ended, messy, dirty, free play, but can't they just stay out there? Like I sometimes seriously lock the door. I'm like, do you have everything you need for this amazing free play that you're doing? Great. Please do not come inside. Cause every time they come inside. So that's just like a little gripe, but we're heading into summer here and it's, I want them to enjoy being out there and doing that exact thing. So I have to kind of let go of this, I don't know, control freakness about coming in and out and the dirt and the mess. And then they leave my mixing bowls out there and it's small things, right? In the grand scheme, it's a small thing, but I'm just acknowledging it's a struggle. And then, you know, I really do struggle with kind of the pressure to do more. I live in an area where people are extremely outdoorsy. We just know a lot of families who camp and bike and backpack. And, you know, we go to the beach, we love the beach, but we know families who go to the beach all day, every day, anytime they can. And they surf and they windsurf and they do all these things. And so I'm not susceptible to a lot of keeping up with the Joneses type of parenting pressure, but this is one area where I really kind of am. I am always thinking we just don't do as much as most people. And neither of us, Brian nor I, we both like it, but not enough to really like interrupt our routines. Like we just, you know,
but isn't that funny? You like it, but it's not a priority for you. So you shouldn't assume it would be a priority for your kids. Either.
Right. Well, no, and I'm not even putting that on the kids. Like I'm just thinking we as a family should do more than we're doing and we don't. Wow. So I've struggled with that a little bit.
Yeah, I get it. Hey, on the thing about having all your bowl, I know this is going to sound super obvious, but I remember going through the same thing when my kids were little, and actually just having some old stuff that they could keep outside and a bowl of water.
Yeah.
Like a big bowl of water or like a jug of water outside and then just a bunch of junky old Tupperware.
Yeah. And
stuff.
I think we've gone through phases where we have a good like amount of that stuff and then it like cracks and breaks and gets thrown away. So I should do that. And I feel like Violet will always still come in for one more thing that she needs. Yeah. Like it's not the right bowl. It's not big enough, but yeah, you're right. I could brush up on that for this season. Okay. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to actually offer some
Sarah, we're welcoming our sponsor, Element. That's spelled L-M-N-T, a zero-sugar electrolyte drink that leans on current science about what our bodies really need in order to deliver the most effective hydration possible. You know, Sarah, Eric is really into keeping up with health research, and he's been insisting to me for years that we actually need more salt to stay hydrated. Turns out Element agrees because they've developed their product based on a growing body of research that shows that for optimal health outcomes, we actually need to be taking in sodium levels at 2 to 3 times government recommendations. That's a big difference.
Yeah, it really is, Megan. And, you know, electrolyte deficiency or imbalances can cause headaches, cramps, fatigue, brain fog, and weakness. I know I can feel really rotten when I'm dehydrated. And also, I don't love the taste of plain water, so I'm not that great about drinking it. Element makes a huge difference in how much I'm enjoying my hydration and in how I feel, and it's super easy to fit it into my daily routine. My favorite flavor of Element is the grapefruit, but if that's not for you, we're going to get you set up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite Element flavor. Plus, Element has a no questions asked refund policy. You don't even have to send the product back to get your refund.
Yeah, you can receive a free Element sample pack containing one packet of 8 flavors. So you'll get 8 total packets free with any order when you purchase through our custom URL. That's drinkelement.com/momhour, DRINKLMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership, and it's available for both new and returning customers. To get that offer, again, go to drinkelement.com/momhour.
Okay, you ready to give some tips?
I'm ready.
About getting outside. Okay, yep. So we have some kind of rapid fire ones, and I think we'll just alternate. I can go first since it's first in our outline.
Because if you don't go first, then we're going to be very confused.
Everything's off. Okay, so my tip is about my kids' age range, which is elementary school. They still ask to go to the playground, the park, but they are kind of getting bored of it or outgrowing some elements of it. So I have just started bringing something different to the park every time we go. It could be a football or a frisbee. We have a little inexpensive remote control drone thing that Reed likes to fly. It could be our sand toys, a kite, books. Like, you can even bring sort of indoor type toys or activities to a park, a board game to sit at the picnic tables. And it's just like having that one extra outside element has brought new life into park visits for us. I mean, for so long, we didn't have to bring anything because it was just the playground equipment. I'm finding now at their ages, it does help to have an attraction of some sort.
It makes it feel more special too. Yeah. Our kids definitely got to that age. You go to the beach, even bring a ball or a frisbee or something like that. So I'll answer for big kids. With bigger kids, my youngest is 10 and, you know, my oldest is an adult, but like the three that are with me the most are 10, 13, and 15. And I just find that middle ground is really hard to find with bigger kids. So we're either doing something big, like we're going on a camping trip for like 3 or 4 days or a week, or we're doing something small, like eating dinner in the backyard. It's just really hard to find an afternoon with all three of the younger kids are available and don't have like a social life thing going on or whatever, that they're already busy and that they all want to go. So I guess just embrace the fact that like sometimes with kids as they get older, you might have to like take little snippets. It could be 15 minutes sitting outside on your porch talking. It could also be you have to check out of your lives for a week to make it happen, and both have a place. You might just find that those afternoon outings become much fewer and farther between.
It reminds me almost, we talked at some point recently about living far away from extended family. It was in a listener questions episode. We talked about how whether you're seeing cousins every day and it's a part of your everyday life, or you save it all up for big, like twice a year family vacations, your kids are still getting those cousin bond and cousin memory. And it's not apples to apples. It's not exactly the same, but it's all part of their, it's all part of their memory making. And that kind of reminded me when you were talking about nature experiences, whether it's a little bit each day in a trickle or like these big experiences, it's all counts.
Yep.
I like it. Okay. So my tip is that if you are more of an indoor person like me, you don't have to change your whole personality. You don't have to try and become an outdoorsy hiker. And actually, you can bring your indoor activities outside. And so I try and remind myself of this. I will bring my to-do list, my journal, just outside to the backyard. You can bring a book to the beach. You can bring your knitting. You can do your photography outside if you like that. Listen to a podcast. Like, I think sometimes we think I've got to transform into this outdoor person, where sometimes it's about just taking who we already are and literally putting that person outside. Yeah. And so I guess how this relates to our kids too is if your kids see you doing this, and if you have a kid who doesn't naturally love to be outside, they will see you doing this and they will get that kind of modeling effect of not everybody has to be a crazy hiker biker, but we can still get outdoors and enjoy the things we enjoy outside.
My favorite kind of outdoorsiness is being an indoor person outside.
Like, yeah.
It is my favorite, like bringing a book or a magazine outside, sitting and having a meal outside, like indoors things outside to me is like the most fun.
Yeah.
When I go to the beach, I have like a speaker.
Yeah.
A cooler with like all of my favorite LaCroix. I have like a Kindle, like I have magazines. I've always got a variety of things that are really outdoor things. It's just more fun to do it someplace else.
Yeah. I love that.
So I love that. Okay. So mine is kind of along the same lines as what I was talking about earlier. It's just divide and conquer. Like, not all of your kids are going to be into all the things. And as they get older, they're all going to have a lot going on. And it's fine to have like, say, biking be a thing you do mostly with one kid. And maybe the beach is something you do mostly with another kid.
Yeah.
And maybe a third one really just likes to take strolls around the block or sit in the backyard with you. Like, you can really, as they get older, tailor. And you get more freedom to kind of individualize. You can really tailor what it is you're doing outside to each of those kids and then get in kind of some quality one-on-one time as well.
Yeah, I think that's such a smart parenting tip in general, not just outside, but that is one of the benefits of them getting older is you discover those And it's more fun as a mom because you're like, oh, yeah. I really like doing this one thing with this one kid. And it doesn't right. have to be this all hands. Yeah, I love that. Well, my next tip is really simple. And that is whatever your tolerance for letting kids get dirty is, and you get to set that personal boundary and that tolerance, but let them get dirty to the extent that you can handle it. This was just really helpful for me when I was a newer mom and just kind of saw that, like, oh my gosh, the onesie and the clothes and the face and the fingernails and they're eating the sand. And like, we all, I guess everyone is totally different in your comfort level, but I look back really fondly on just how happy my kids were playing in mud. And yeah. I'm glad that I just kept, you know, a change of clothes and yeah. I had mom friends who it did really bother them. Maybe they spent a little bit more money on their kids' clothes or maybe it was a germ thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, no judgment anywhere else, but whatever your tolerance is, let that be just pushed right up against it because I think it's so good for them and they're so happy and they'll get clean again.
They will get clean again. It always happens. Mm-hmm. So my next tip would be like to figure out, especially if you live in any kind of neighborhood where kids play with each other. I know this sounds really lame, but like some neighborhoods you just don't see a lot of kids outside playing with each other. And if you live in the kind of neighborhood where other kids can see your kids when they're outside playing or where there's that is like the neighborhood culture that kids are out playing, figure out what your policy is going to be on how that's all going to work out. And I have played this from both ends of the spectrum. So I have definitely had like open door policy, like kids can come and go as they please. You're welcome to have kids in our yard any old time. Ask before you bring them in. But like, it's pretty much okay too, as long as I've met their parents right. and their parents know they're here. I've also had it where I've lived in neighborhoods with more annoying kids, just uh-huh. to be super honest, and have had more of like a lockdown where all things are permission based yeah. and ask for everything. The thing is, you're going to get into annoying situations either way. Mm-hmm. Like if you're in a situation where permission must always be sought, you are going to end up doing a lot of interacting with other people's parents. There's going to be questions all the time. Like, mom, can so-and-so play? And then you have to be the one in charge of getting in touch with so-and-so's mom yes. or whatever it is. Or you're going to have neighborhood kids around all the time. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to pick your poison. Like, I don't really think, unless you just hide in your house and put your children in the basement, I don't really think there's any way to avoid that when you live in a neighborhood. Yeah. Like, it's just part of life. It's part of yep. being in a neighborhood. And I finally made a very conscious choice when my boys were kind of getting to that age and we had a lot of neighborhood kids where I just didn't want to police it. So they knew kids that were always allowed over. They knew ones that were like, let me talk to the mom first. But basically it was an open door policy. Yeah. And I did have to kind of get used to the door slamming and the kids in my snack bin and stuff like that. And I came up with workarounds, but it was in the end actually easier than the other way.
Yeah. I think we've gotten a couple of listener questions about different neighborhood scenarios and it is tricky. Like as you're talking, I'm thinking, neither one of those is perfect. Like there are problems that come.
And it's very hard to walk a middle ground because kids want things to be fair.
Yeah.
And they want things to be kind of consistent. They don't really understand that you don't necessarily want XYZ kid coming over whenever because their mom is a little bit weird and might freak out at you. Right. You know what I mean? Like there's no way to clue your kid in.
No, and they don't know that like some snacks in the pantry cost like $4.99 each versus others are free for all. Like, I mean, there's so much middle ground.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think too about all of our conversations about independence and helicoptering and a lot of those hot topics. And it's kind of the same thing. Like you can either, we have a lot of moms kind of, you know, put a camp chair or stand out in the driveway because some of the kids are still little and we'll watch them on their skateboards and they're getting up to all kinds of stuff. And you can either decide that you're going to be out there and for either safety or just whatever reason that you want to watch, or you can kind of decide you're going to free range it and hope for the best. But like, it's hard. There are trade-offs either way. Like I have a hard time just coming inside and knowing that there's kids out there on bikes and, you know, there's cars and all that. I'm not quite there yet. At the same time, I don't want to be the mom that's standing in my driveway for 2 hours at a time because I have other stuff to do. So
exactly.
Oh yeah, that's like
it's tough. It's like constantly, you can constantly redefine it. But I just think it helps to kind of mentally tell yourself, what is the story? What is the story of the way I am about this?
And,
you know,
it's a good reminder too of what we always say, like, you get to decide, like, in our family, family, this is the policy. And it's great. You can decide it, you can change it, it can evolve. But That's a good one. Okay. Well, my next tip is another super short one. And it's the part two to let your kids get as dirty as you tolerance can possibly allow. And that is to keep an entire set of change of clothes for everyone. If you are a car driving person, in the trunk of the car at all times. And that goes well beyond the baby and toddler years. So I just was looking at mine. My kids are 6, almost 9 and almost 11. And, you know, we don't really need changes of clothes very often. It's not like they wet their pants or fall in a puddle very often, but it's still great to have. And a couple of like old beach towels so that you can be spontaneous. You can, you know, be, let them roll down the hill and do these crazy things and you've got to go somewhere else after and you've got a change of clothes. And I would say the same for cheap flip-flops. I try to have an extra pair of shoes or shoes and socks in the car too. It's not
a good idea.
Great,
and sometimes kids lose shoes. I don't know how they do it.
Or mine get in the car without shoes and we get somewhere.
I do that too. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So my next tip is like, we kind of touched on this earlier, but just keep it simple. Like, don't overthink this so much. We get this feeling like we have to crush it. like we have to crush every new experience. And every time we take the kids out, it has to be a different park or a different hiking trail. Or we have to be doing something we've never done before. And it can literally be you walk around the same neighborhood over and over and over, and there's always going to be something new. Yeah. Like the kids will always, and it's actually kind of a good practice because you can say, oh, remember last time these flowers weren't budding yet.
Yes.
And now, or look, remember last time that anthill was tiny and now it's huge or whatever it is. And there's like something, there's really something great about doing the same things over and over and watching the change.
Yeah.
I just don't think we have to stress ourselves out for everything to be so novel and magical and big all the time.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I'm actually going to do my tip that's sort of a little kid version of that. So I'm going to switch my order here. But mine is to remember that little kids see quote unquote nature like everywhere they look. Like they don't even, you know how we've talked about how going to the zoo with really little kids is hard because they don't have an appreciation for size and scope. And so the elephant is so far away. Whereas I always tell people to take their kids to PetSmart because you could see lizards up close and fish in the tanks and they're so happy. So this is kind of the same thing. Like nature to really little kids, they don't need the sweeping canyons or sunsets or like vistas or whatever. They are seeing, they're so little, physically little. So their whole physical world, they're looking down at the ground at their shoes and they're noticing, like you said, like a little flower or a little bud of something or a rock or a feather. So I think one way to kind of capitalize on that with little kids, not only can you keep it simple and you don't have to go on a big old hike, but you can also kind of cultivate that appreciation. And we like to bring stuff home, you know, bring little treasures home and give them a pretty bowl to put in their room and they can put their feather and their rocks and their seashells in it. I mean, that counts because first of all, they've been outside. So check that off the list, mom, you did a good job, but then you're sort of bringing that noticing and that appreciation of nature indoors in a way that is totally age appropriate for a toddler and so easy for you. So you just don't have to, like you said, it doesn't have to be big. You don't have to overthink it, but you can also take advantage of the little things they notice because that is part of nature too.
It is part of it. One of my favorite books on the topic is called The Last Child in the Woods, written by Richard Louv.
Yes.
One of the best books I think that's been written on this topic. But I remember a part that really struck me in the book was where he was saying like, all you have to do to find nature is go outside and look around. It's the edge. It's wherever things get a little wild, like wherever humans haven't manicured the life out of it. It's the patch of grass at the edge of the mowed yard where it starts to get wild again. Or it's like the, like you said, the flower popping up through the sidewalk crack, like any place where nature is like winning, you know, like where the wild things are doing what they're supposed to do. That is nature. And so the bird in the tree, like it all counts.
Do you remember the hill behind my house since you've been or when you brought Clara? So I have this patio. It's, you know, we live, our lots are not very big relative to the houses. So the houses are crammed in where I live. The patio is not huge, but it's behind a hill. So there's a cinder block wall and then the hill goes pretty steeply up. So the kids can scale the cinder block wall and then they are on this kind of wild hill. And it's as wild, I mean, it's not as wild as we get because we actually have really great other wild spaces, but behind my house, it's way more wild than the yard. And Clara, your Clara, went up there with my kids, and all kids love to go up there. And it's just a few inches.
She absolutely loved it.
Yeah, that's what kids remember about.
She felt like she was on this crazy adventure, like climbing a mountain or something.
Yeah, because they do have to scale the wall. And then once they're up there, it's just overgrown brush. Yep. And it feels like they're breaking a rule or something.
Yeah.
And they probably are breaking some homeowners association rule. But that just reminded me when you said it doesn't have to be far from what's manicured and orderly. It's just right at the edge of it. And
right at the edge of it. And then it almost makes it that much more novel and unique because it is right at the edge of it. That reminds me of like one of the things that also is in this Louvre book that I remember him pointing out and I hadn't thought about. But when I was a kid, I feel like there were more empty lots.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember those being a big draw for kids. Like there were just, there would just be this like grassy, overgrown, wildflower and weed filled piece of grass in every town. And either as adults, we don't notice them anymore, or maybe they're not as accessible to kids because
kids aren't out just wandering around. I think that might be as much of it as the lots might still be there, but kids aren't just meandering.
But like what a draw that was, like lying in the grass, picking dandelions, whatever it was a little wilder than what we were used to.
Yeah.
And that made it a draw and that made it special.
Yeah.
And you can find that anywhere.
I want to read that book. So I actually started that book when my kids were really little and I was not in a reading phase. So now that I read a lot, I want to read that book.
I
never got very far.
One of the few parenting books that I care about and that I actually go back and read it every now and then.
Yeah.
Again, just because I really enjoyed it.
We'll link that up. Okay. Where did we leave? Is it your turn?
Oh yeah. You had skipped ahead, but that's okay. I think I know where I'm going. Okay. So, if your kids are getting older, try to incorporate their need and desire for social status and friend time into your plans.
So
no matter what you want to do, it's going to go over better if you bring a buddy
mm-hmm.
when, you know, your kids get to a certain age. So just, you know, you don't always have to include other kids, but sometimes being open to that can make something that would have been a big drag really fun.
Yeah.
And I'm also working on making my backyard really fun this year, which does require as kids get older, they're not just going to go play outside the way that they did when they were, you know, 6 years old, but they will go out there if there's something to do. So I really want when my boys have friends over for the yard to be as big of a draw as the Xbox. So I'm working on that and making that a goal.
I love it. Well, we're going to do an episode, I think, about a More Than Mom episode in a couple Sundays about like patio decor and stuff we want for outside. So that'll be a fun one. Okay. Well, my next tip also has to do with, you know, making things fun for those who are not naturally drawn outside. And that is if you have a kid who's grumpy about going outside, and that was me as a kid, just set them up for success. Like I've realized that Reed is really sensitive to the sun in his eyes. So he needs like a hat and sunglasses. He brings a book wherever we go. And he'll still, if we go to the beach, he'll still dig sandcastles and run in the waves. But it's almost like he reaches his point and then he does not want to do those things anymore.
Yeah.
But it's so much more pleasant for all of us if I just know we have an umbrella and he's brought a book or, you know, something to draw with or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think we don't have to write our kids off as like, well, they're not the outdoorsy one. So
can play to everyone's tolerance level and then no one's punished.
Right. Exactly.
Which is the point.
And
right?
then they see that it's not something to dread. It's that they can, and I'm the same way. Like I do accommodate for myself if I know that it's some big outdoor thing. You know, I would do the same thing for myself. So I think just helping our kids see that there are ways to do that. So.
Yeah. Love it. Did we make it through all of our tips?
I think we did. That was a lot. I'm going to read that book. This was really great. Would love to hear from you guys how you guys are getting outside with your kids or what other questions and thoughts you have on this topic. And as always, we have a lot of great content this month, so make sure you're subscribed. If you feel like telling a friend about the podcast or sending them your favorite episode, that helps our show so much, as do all of your wonderful reviews and ratings in Apple Podcasts. So keep that up. We love it. Just a couple of reminders before we wrap. We have some new sponsors today. So all of our sponsor info for each episode is at themomhour.com, and you just look for the show notes that go with that episode. But in particular, go grab that free chat book. Order it for yourself. And the promo code is themomhour after you get the chat books app.
There is no reason not to, you guys.
Giving you a free book. And also, since you're listening to a podcast already, if you're looking for something else to listen to, go check out that podcast In It from Understood about learning and attention issues. It's a great one. So that's it, guys. We will talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Hi, everyone. Megan here. Sarah and I would absolutely love it if you would hit pause right now, like right where you're listening, and leave the Mom Hour a rating and review. If our show has helped you feel a little more confident as a mom or a little less alone, this is one of the biggest ways you can thank us, and it really only takes about 30 seconds. If you're listening to Apple Podcasts, you can navigate to the Mom Hour's show listing. So when you're in the episode you're listening to right now, click where it says the Mom Hour just above the play button and then scroll all the way to the bottom and you will see the ratings and reviews. We would love if you would leave us one as well. Thank you so much for listening.
The Mom Hour is brought to you by partners like Chatbooks. Chatbooks makes it beyond easy to create beautiful photo books by importing your digital photos from anywhere. Instagram, Facebook, Google Photos, or directly from your phone. The books come in a variety of sizes with beautiful cover options and binding styles to choose from, and they start at just $15. Plus, we have a great deal just for our listeners. Use code THEMOMHOUR20 to save 20% off your purchase. Just download the Chatbooks app and use code THEMOMHOUR20 to save 20%.